Okay. So we're actively seeking opportunities to share with them what Christ has done in our lives and who He is, and hopefully see them come to know Jesus. And what compels us to want to do this? That's the question that I really want to get started with and answer today. We'll be talking about this topic for a while because I think it's very important. But what compels us? Why should you join in with Hoosier One? Like, why? That's the question before you today. Should you take this seriously or not? And I think what comes to my mind when I think about, okay, should I embrace this Hoosier One? Should I look for one person that God may be leading me to? Should I do that? What causes me to want to do that? And it's got to be rooted in God's love for me. Do you know that God loves you? That's a question I want you to ask. Answer. Yeah. Do you know? Now, sometimes when things are difficult, you may be tempted to question that, and that's natural. A lot of us do, but we know when we think about it, when we read the Scripture, we experience Him. We truly know that He loves us, and we know this several ways. We know this one is because He sent His Son Jesus to pay for our sin. He sent Jesus, His Son, to pay our debt, something we couldn't pay for because we've all sinned. I've sinned. I mess up. I mess up daily. I don't want to. Like, I don't get up in the morning and go, hey, I'm going to blow it today. But it happens pretty soon into the day. And so we all need some forgiveness for blowing it, for sinning against God, for doing things that are just not holy. We sing about His holiness, for being unholy, being unrighteous. And so I need forgiveness, you need forgiveness, we all need forgiveness for that. So what God did was He sent His Son Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin, which was death. And He did that because He loves us. He loves us. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you've been through or what you're going to face in this life. God loves you, and He wants you to know that. And so everything that we do then comes out of the fact that God loves us, that He's pursued a relationship with us, that He wants us to know Him, that He wants us to be forgiven, that He wants to forgive people. He's looking for people to forgive. And I was one of them. I still am. And so why should we participate is rooted in that idea, is that He showed His love towards us, that while we were still sinners, while we were still His enemies, while we still didn't like Him, He died for us. He demonstrated it. He showed it. He proved it that He loved us even when we didn't want Him to love us. And that's what moves us. That should be the core. And when I lose sight of who I am in Christ, when I lose sight of what I'm doing, when the world just kind of takes over, when work overwhelms, when activities overwhelm, when the pressures of life overwhelm, what happens is I've lost sight of how much He loves me. I've let other things kind of dictate how my life goes rather than the fact that God loves you is the trump card for anything you're going to go through. It really is. When you grasp that, when you experience that, when you get a hold of His love for you and what He's done for you and how much that is and how He continues to love you. Not just that He loved you sometime in the past, but He continues to, and He continues to show you that. He continues to pursue you. And even though He has you, He wants more of you. He wants, some people say, I want more of God. No, God wants more of you. It's like, He continues to do that. And when I realize that, it just puts everything in my life in perspective. So, when we talk about who's your one, it's really this, is that God wants you to care as much for your one as He cares about you. Think about that. God wants you to care as much for your one, that person that God is placing your heart and your life, that as He has cared for you. Well, that changes everything. That changes the way I live, because everybody wants to be loved. Like, even people that have a hard time receiving love, they really want love. Right? Well, I've talked about it before. There's people in my life that just grunt all the time. They're not my family, but it's like some of you. Not really. They're not here today. No, I was kidding. You're thinking like, who's not here? No. But there's people that just grunt. Like, how you doing? Yeah, you can try to love and be like, well, did you have a good weekend? No, like, no, everything's horrible. Ah. And you're like, but they really want to be loved. They were hurt somewhere in life. They there's something going on. But everyone wants to have love. And oftentimes the people who seem like they don't want very much, and they're not very nice, and they're kind of hateful, those are people who wanted it the most, but they were hurt somewhere along the way. They were rejected. Their love was turned away, or someone that was supposed to love them hurt them or let them down or abused them. And so, but they want love. Everyone wants love. And that's why this matters. The most important thing that you can do is to show others God's love for them. And the way you do that is what we're going to talk about today. It's like, how do we begin to do that? How do we begin to identify our one? And what is it how is it that I can show the people in my life that God loves them? How can I remember that God loves me? All important questions. For Christians, God wants you to love others. And He says that repeatedly throughout the Scriptures. But if you're not a Christian today, maybe you're here and you're still trying to figure it out. You've still got some questions. You're trying to work through some things and you're trying to consider the claims of Christ. This is great news for you. The reason this is great news for you is because God wants you to know that He loves you. So this is good news for everyone. God wants us to show love and to receive His love and show it, regardless of who you are. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, He wants you to know His love. So the issue before us today is this. How do you love and pray for your one? How do you love and pray for your one? I'm going to say it like this. How do you engage your one? Okay? So we're here at the start of this. We're all in the same place. How is it that you love and pray for? How is it that you engage your one? And so I'm going to give you three ways that you can effectively engage your one. And we're going to get that from the Scriptures in Matthew chapter 9. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have your Bible, download the Bible app from YouVersion. Android and iPhone, they've got it. Then you have a desktop version. Download that YouVersion. If you download it or you pull it up in church, do not hit the little play icon in the bottom, because it'll start reading it out loud to you. And so that would be weird in church. But under plans in there, that's where we're going to have our church plan. And so you can actually go to our website and link right to that, but you need to download it. But you can have that here as well. And so here's what Matthew says. Matthew says in verses 35 through 38, he says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages. Notice what he was doing. He was teaching in their synagogues, teaching. He was preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every diseased and sick person. So he was preaching. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's why he was healing them. So he was ministering to them. He was teaching, preaching, and ministering. Then he said to his disciples this, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus is going along the countryside. He's been doing many miracles. He's been healing people, doing all sorts of things. We'll talk a little bit about what happened just prior to this event later on today. But he's working, and he says here that the fields are white with harvest. And that's the first thing today, is that I want you to see that the harvest is plentiful. People say, well, where's my one? I'll ask people, you know, who's the lost person in your life? I don't know. It's like, we've got to live in a pretty cocooned world, pretty self-enclosed box, not to know anyone that doesn't know Jesus. They're everywhere. Like, literally, everywhere. So, that means we've not, we just kind of closed off to the world around us, and we live in our Christian bubble, and we go through and we talk to our Christian friends, and we drive our Christian car, and we feed our Christian dog, and we live in our Christian house, and it's just like everything's Christian. We don't really associate with anyone outside of that, but that's not what Jesus was doing. Jesus was living His life amongst the people. People who are vastly different than Him. People that He loved. So this harvest is plentiful. There's some tension here for me. Because in the world I live in, the harvest seems light. Doesn't it seem light to you? I mean, from where I'm standing, I can see lots of green in the sea. And these seats could be full. Where's the harvest? Where are people giving their lives to Christ? Where are the revivals happening? Where do you see families being just transformed by Christ? Where do you see neighborhoods being just overcoming, workplaces and revivals breaking out in workplaces, and people being saved and giving their lives to Christ and living in His kingdom? Where do we see that? We don't see a lot of that. And so there's a kind of a problem here for me. I'm like, okay, God, You say the harvest is plentiful. Devoted our lives to it. Where is it? Was He just talking to them about that situation? Certainly there's more people on the earth today than there was then, so it's going to be even a greater harvest available now. Where is it? That's a question. It seems light on the inside of the walls in our building, not plentiful. I dare say that most of the people on your street, where you live, need Jesus. Right? Wouldn't you think that? Most of the people in the street where I live need His love. Now, we want to go in and tell them what they need to do, but what they need is His love. They need to experience. They need to see His love. Most of the people in my life, most people in your school, most of the people in your school, I ask my kids, hey, you know, who are you sharing the gospel with at school? Or who are you talking to? You got any friends that don't go to church? No, they all go to church. Everybody goes to church. Well, that's not true, guys. Here's how I know. I've talked to other churches around. I've asked them how many people are in their youth groups. And you add up the numbers, not everyone's in church. Okay, there's somebody not in church. There's people not there. And if they're not in church, it probably means they're not living their life for Christ, most likely. And so, but the same's true in the workplace. The same's true everywhere we go. The same's true in the sports field. It's true everywhere. The people need Jesus. They need His love. And He says there's a harvest of people out there. And so I'm just like, pick one. Just pick somebody, right? It's like, ask God, show me somebody that You're calling me to, and I'm just going to pick this person. This is going to be my person that I'm going to love, that I'm going to show them Your love, that I'm going to pray for every day, that I'm going to look for opportunities to share with them. This is the person, Lord, that You've led me to. And then if He puts someone else in your heart, then that's the person. But just pick some, find a lost person. They're everywhere. And love them. Hear me clearly. Love them. Don't go say, well, your life's a wreck, buddy, and you need Jesus. That's not going to get you very far. That's why we don't see a plentiful harvest, actually. It's because we spend our time judging them rather than showing them love. We spend our time judging people rather than showing them forgiveness. Jesus is in the forgiveness business. Read John chapter 3. Get past 3:16. Like, just go on a few more verses and you'll see. Jesus comes to save people. And if we're His people, we're in the saving business. We're in the forgiving business. We're in the grace business. We give grace. And when we experience His love, then all of a sudden we want to live for Him. We're singing this song about He's holy. He's like, Lord, I want to live for You because You love me. I want to live for You because I love You. That's the desire. That's the motivation of the heart. So pick somebody. The first thing you must do to effectively engage with your one is to identify who it is. Identify your one. The harvest is plentiful. Identify the person. And so we want you to pray for that. Like, maybe you don't know, maybe you already know, maybe you think, like, I had a couple of people in mind. Mark, my one, is neither one of those people. Got to praying about it. God showed me, no, this is the person. Why? Because this person's taking an interest in me. We're hitting it off. We like each other. We're talking to one another. The relationship's developing. And it's just like there's connectivity there. It's like get magnets, you know, magnets, if you hold them the right way, they'll click together. And then there's other times you can turn them the wrong way and they'll repel each other. Look for somebody that, you know, that you kind of click with. There's an attraction. They hang out with you. A lot of times when someone's attracted to you, and I don't mean physical attraction, you know, boy and girl and all that, but I'm like, you know, hey, I like this person. I want to hang out with them, get to know them. We get annoyed by that. Right? Nah, you get a little too close. Right? And you've invaded my personal space. Personal space, the basic human right of everyone. And it's like, they're talking too much. And we just kind of, maybe we're the people who grunt. Right? And we might be the grunters to them. And so, don't grunt. Like, talk to people with words and stuff like that. And so, it's important. Do you believe that God wants you to be His witness? Do you believe that? I think Jesus said it. You will be my witnesses. He wants us to... Do you believe that God wants you to be His witness? Do you believe that God wants to use you to reach one person? I'll tell you what will start revival in our church. When one of you leads someone to Jesus and come in and start sharing how awesome that is. And we see you baptize your one. That is going to say, don't that just give you chills just to think about that? What that would, I mean, have you ever had the opportunity to see someone surrender their life to Christ? When that happens, when you're a part of that, it changes your life. You're like, man, that is my priority. That's what it's about. I want everyone to experience that. I want everyone who comes and is with us at any amount of time at Ballardsville, you know, any significant amount of time that they walk down the road with us, I want them to have the opportunity to know what it means to disciple someone to Jesus. To know that when they stand before God in heaven, they're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. But someone's going to come to them and say, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. Had a friend in school, his name's Grant. Won't share his last name, this is on the internet. His friend Grant was a year older than me, and my best friend was a year older than me. And we kind of hung out all the time. There's another guy. But we hung out all the time. And Steve and I went to church. We were believers and everything like that. But after we graduated, several years later, Grant came to Steve and I, and he said, why didn't you tell me? Tell you what? Tell me about Jesus and His love for me. He said, if I died, I'd split hell wide open. Why didn't you tell me? I don't want anyone asking you that. I don't want your one asking you that. That hurt. That was like a wake-up call. It's like, oh my goodness. That's the situation that we're dealing with here. That's what's at stake. It's important. It's very important. So pray that the Holy Spirit would give you an awareness of your one who is becoming open in your life. Your one can be anybody too. Think about this. So oftentimes, your one will be someone, you might have someone in mind right now. that you say, well, this person's life is kind of a wreck, and I really think that Jesus could help them. That's a good thing. But you might want to talk to them, pray for them, see what's going on, see if there's any spiritual interest. Because just because someone's life's a wreck doesn't mean that they're going to talk to you at that level at all. But just talk to them, see if there's any spiritual interest. Say, God, is this the one? Is this just me feeling like this person can be my project? Or is this you leading me to this person? Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit's working. He's convicting people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The God is out there working. He's doing His part with the people that you encounter, that you walk by, that you see. He's doing His part all day long. And He sends us out to go out and find those people with whom He's working and help lead them home to Him, to His kingdom, to Him. And so pray. So just before our text today, I'm just going to show you the types of people that Jesus worked with so we don't just think of one particular type. Just before our text today in Matthew, Jesus engaged with a guy named Jairus. Jairus was probably wealthy. He was a well-respected leader, and he was the leader of the synagogue in Capernaum. Capernaum is the town where Peter lived on the shore of Galilee, and oftentimes the center of Jesus' ministry was in Capernaum. And so a very well-respected religious person, Jesus was there. Jairus' daughter was about to die, if you'll remember. And so he sent for Jesus. Jesus is going, but there's a large crowd. And so what happens there is that there's a woman who touches him. She's a sick lady. She's very sick. She's been bleeding for years. And she touches Jesus, and so there's a sick person. And then there were some other people. There were some demon-possessed people that Jesus healed a man. He healed two blind men. So he was like an equal opportunity savior, right? He saved whoever needed saving. Like if they would surrender, if they needed his help, he wanted to show them love. He wanted to minister to them. He wanted to show them that the way of the kingdom is different than the way that they've been living. There's hope. There's forgiveness. Many people are different, and so don't just when you're saying, okay, who's my one? Ask God who's your one. Don't just pick a particular group of people because maybe they're poor or maybe they're sick or maybe they got drug problems or whatever. Just ask God. He's working. He knows who it is. His Spirit knows him. Ask him. The Bible talks about in Amos chapter 8, summer fruit. And I just want to get this out. My great uncle, Lawrence Madden, used to talk about this summer fruit. He was his burden for summer fruit. What happens to fruit if it's not eaten? It's ripe. What happens? It rots. And so it was ripe. It's ready to be harvested. It might have even fallen to the ground to make it easier to pick up. But if it's not harvested by a harvester, it rots. And in Amos, God compares the children of Israel, that His judgment is coming, to a basket of summer fruit. That is, it's ripe, it's ready, but if you don't do something with it, if you don't eat this fruit, it's going to go to waste. There's a time limit here. There's ticking. It's like Grant realized that. It's like, man, I could have died. I was almost fruit that rotted. My soul would have been receptive if you had told me about it. But we didn't. We were too busy with our lives. We were too busy with our sports. We were too busy being cool. We were too busy going to church. We didn't have time for Him. We were too busy. Too busy to slow down and realize that God was calling Grant to the kingdom. And He wanted to use us to do that. So, secondly, to effectively engage with your one, first to identify, secondly, you must cultivate a deep love for your one. And again, this is the hard part. So, you know, I'm giving you a to-do list, right? But really, it's not a to-do list, it's a heart list. So, why is it that I have a hard time loving people? Like, do you ever have a hard time loving people? It's like especially slow people that drive in front of you, or you know, but you know, it's just like I have a hard time loving people. I have a hard time loving my own family. I want to love them, but it's kind of messed up. It's perverted because it's all about me. Oftentimes we love people because of what they do for us, and when they don't do for us anymore, we kind of get mad at them and don't act very lovingly. And since the world's not doing things for us, since those lost people aren't doing things for you, we just really don't love them. We don't even care. It's not that we hate them. They're just out there. They're just, you know, just like animals. Just like the deer you pass on the side of the street. It's, you know, cool to look at, but, you know, that's why. It's the love. We have to cultivate a deep love. Verse 36 says that when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them. Why? Why? Because they were harassed. They were harassed and they were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Think about that. Why did Jesus have love on the crowds? Because they were victims. Victims of a spiritual warfare. Now I know we talk about today everybody's a victim and everybody plays a victim card. And well, you know what? Truth is, everyone is a victim. Everyone's harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And it's not the victimhood that we see today. There are some real victims in our culture today still yet. So I'm not downplaying that. But in a way, Jesus looked out and He said, all of these people are people who Satan has hijacked. All of these people here are people that if they're my one. All of these people are blinded to the truth of God because of the lie of Satan. The Bible says Satan is like a lion. He's seeking someone to devour. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you is what Jesus says. He's harassing you at every turn. Don't you just feel that way sometimes? It's like, man, I'm being harassed. I don't know why I'm mad, but I'm mad. Like, you know, why? What's going on in my heart that makes me like that? It's because I'm believing the lies of Satan rather than the truth of Christ. And He says He has compassion. So how do I cultivate a deep love? How do I have this love for them? And again, it's rooted in God's love for me. Oftentimes we judge, we shun, we avoid. Isn't that true? We judge, we shun, and we avoid. We do that with one another. I mean, we do that with people under grace already. I mean, certainly we do that with folks that aren't under grace. But that's not what Jesus is actually sending us to them. He's sending you to them. In John 20, 21, it's actually on the wall before you leave. You see it every day if you walk out the back. It's right above the Hoosier One banner. And Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. How did the Father? His Father sent Him to love them. He sent them to He sent Jesus to sacrifice for the people. He sent Jesus to have compassion. And when I realized the great love that God has for me, and I want to return that love, then I have to love the people He loves. Got to care about the same things He cares about. You ever do that? You notice somebody you love, you bend over backwards to care about what they care about. Especially when you're dating and looking for a wife. You're like, your wife's like, I like pink shirts. You're like, I love pink shirts. I wear a pink shirt every day. You don't like a pink shirt. Oh, you might. I don't know today's world. But anyway, no, I was kidding. I like pink too. I just can't find anything this size in pink. So anyhow, God's sending us to them. He wants us to love them. And He wants us to sacrifice the same way He sacrificed. He wants us to sacrifice for them. The question is, do you love lost people? And Jesus does. Do you? Do you? Many times we have to answer no to that. Remember the commandments? Jesus is like, hey, somebody said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus is like, well, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But the second one's like it, He says. He wouldn't let them off that. But the second one's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? You know, love other people. Love the person that needs love. Love them. Become their neighbors, really what he's saying. Because someone said, well, then who's my neighbor? He's like, your neighbor's whoever you decide to make your neighbor. It's not a technicality. It is you are the neighbor maker by who you love. We ought to have a shirt. Somebody ought to make that. I am a neighbor maker. People will be like, what is that? And then you can make a neighbor right there. So, have compassion for people. Because this enemy is seeking to devour them. You ever watch those I don't know, National Geographic videos, and they got the animals out there in the field, and there's like the pack of gazelles or whatever they are, and then the lions crouch down in the bushes, and they takes off running, and the whole herd runs except for one little old gazelle over here, and that little gazelle gets eaten by the lion. You see that? And all the ones that were the herd were safe, but the one is gone. And you feel sad. Like, oh, poor little gazelle. Wonder what his mama gazelle is going to think, and daddy gazelle, and brother gazelle, and sister gazelle. And you're just sad for that. Well, that's the same thing. That's the same picture. Maybe God allows us to see that so we'll know what's happening to human beings. Instead of looking at them in judgment, go, man, your life's messed up. You've made a lot of bad choices. You ought to have your life together like me. You ought to make smart decisions like I make smart decisions. You ought to get a job like I got a job. You ought to quit doing drugs because I don't do drugs. You ought to be just like me because I'm perfect. Maybe rather than just trying to judge everybody and compare them, and maybe rather than do that, we get down like Jesus did, and we go to where they are, and we love them until they know they're loved and they want to come out of that. Because the reason they're in it's probably because they didn't have anyone loving them. Or at least they felt like they didn't have anyone loving them. They probably did, but they just felt like they did. Or thought they did. So develop a deep love for them. It is Jesus' love for you that defines your love for others. Listen to what Paul says. Paul was an apostle of Christ. He started off as a non-believer, but then Jesus showed up and he became a believer. And he wrote this book called Romans. He wrote most of the New Testament, or a lot of it. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. This is what Paul says about his love for lost people. Now remember, when Paul started off, he was killing Christians. He was killing them. That's how he hated them. And Jesus showed up and changed him. This is what he says. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. He's like saying, I swear. That's what he's saying. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. It's like, this is so true. You have to listen. He says this. What's so important? I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. My heart hurts so bad. He's like, I would take hell if they could be saved. That's basically what, and he knows that's impossible. But that's the love. That's the compassion. That's the desire that he has that people like him be saved. Well, the people like us are people. It's all people. All of us are made in God's image. What if I made an image of God? I know you're not supposed to. What if I made an image of God? And I burned it. Would you like to see that? You'd like me to see the... No, you don't want to see that. We don't see the image of God distorted and destroyed and abused and harassed and helpless. We don't want to see that. Well, human beings are that. It's the enemy destroying the image of God that God has placed in them. He may be doing that to you. You may be listening to the lies of the enemy and involved in some self-destructive behavior. You may be on the side thinking you're going just through the motions right now and you're acting good and you're smiling and you're going to church like everyone's supposed to, but deep down inside you're living another life. Deep down inside you know that there's this darkness. And deep down inside you're believing a lie that nobody loves you. It's a lie. And the only way to fight a lie is with the truth. And the truth is that Jesus loves you. And the truth is that God has called us to show them Jesus' love. He's called you. He's called me. Because He's loved me. Because He pulled me out of that. I want to see Him pull others out of that. And I don't want to see the image of God destroyed. Listen to what Jesus says in John 15. Just try to see. Like, so a lot of times I listen to people read and I'll just kind of zone off or I'll just kind of read. But listen to the phrases here. Just try to concentrate for a moment. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in His love. Okay? I have told you this so that my joy, it's Jesus' joy, may be in us, in you, and that your joy may be complete. Okay. My command is this. Okay, so He's told us, keep a command. If we remain in His commands, His love remains on us. What's His command, Jesus? What's your command? If there's one command that you want me to keep that would ensure that I remain in your love, Lord, what is it? Love each other as I've loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. That's the hardest one to keep. I think I could drive the speed limit easier. Can I just not cheat my taxes? Can I just do that? What do you mean, love others as you love me? What do you mean by love others as you've loved me? That's the requirement. That's what repentance looks like. From going from a selfish, get all I can, believe all I can, I'm God of my own life and God of my own world, to laying down my life, accepting the forgiveness of Christ and following Him and loving others. Laying down my life. It's no longer about me. It's about Him and others. That's the deal. Verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. What? You want me to lay down my life for others the same way you laid down your life for me? You want me to sacrifice, be willing to die? Not just willing to die, but to actually die from self, to love others the same way you died to love me? Well, what if they kill me? Jesus says, hey, you're going to be resurrected the same way I was resurrected. It's okay if they kill you. It's okay. You're going to be resurrected the same way that I was resurrected. I'm the first one. I was there. I'm showing you the way to go. You can look it up. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Follow you at what? Loving others, laying down my life. He says this, you are my friends if you do what I command. Back to that command, the hardest one, to love others. He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You're not a servant, you're His friend. He's laid down His life for you. You can be friends with God. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you so that you might, what? What? Go and bear fruit. Go bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Maybe he's talking about summer fruit. He says, fruit that will last. What kind of fruit's going to last? He says, heaven and earth is going to pass away. Everything in it is going to die. Everything. There's one promise of something that's going to last forever. You. He remakes the heavens and the earth. He makes them new again. But you will remain forever. Your fruit will remain forever. It's there, waiting to be picked. He says, go and pick it. Go and bear fruit. Go and get it. The harvest is plentiful. It's there. Go. Love them. Love them. That's your only job, is to prove to the world that God loves them. And I believe that when you truly experience God, you will make an impact in the lives of the people around you. You'll make an impact in your world. You'll make an impact in your family. You'll make an impact in your workplace. You'll make an impact in your church. You'll make an impact because you're no longer living in the kingdom of Satan. You're living in the kingdom of God right here and right now. And that kingdom's an everlasting kingdom. It will never stop. Whether you're alive or whether you're asleep, you will indeed live forever. Okay. Fruit. And then he says this. This is great. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. So I think the implication is here is that if we're praying and asking God to help us to love one another, to cultivate a love for our one, to lead us to the one, to lead us to the fruit, if we're intentionally praying like, God, open my eyes to what you're doing, help me to love people, that He's going to answer that request. Like, that's what He says. He's going to answer that. My prayers are not that. My prayers are that I'm not sick. My prayers are that everybody's going to live even though they're 102 and they got cancer. I love people and I don't want anybody to get cancer, but you're going to die. I mean, like, it's going to happen. We're all going to die. But what we're not all going to do is go harvest fruit. And so whatever time we have, while before the fruit rots, before my time is over, before your time is over, before our time collectively is over, let's go bear fruit. Because what if it's like Jason? What if Jason had passed? Not Jason, Grant. Jason's another friend. Grant. Okay. Third, to effectively engage with everyone, you must become the answer to your own prayer. Lord, reach them. Lord, send somebody. That's what He says. Pray for what? Pray for workers. Isn't that amazing? Didn't say pray for a harvest. Didn't say pray for a great preacher, good revival service. He didn't say, you know, pray for a big church that has awesome ministries. He didn't say pray for better seminaries that can teach our people how to do it better. He didn't say pray for more program. He said pray ask the Father to send out workers into the field. To effectively engage with your one, you've got to become the answer to your own prayer. Lord, send somebody to them. What's the song we used to sing? What does the great prophet say? Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. That should be our prayer every morning. That's why we've got this devotion lined up and this prayer guide lined up. So every day, we're going to pray for our lost ones, but we're praying that God would send us. Send me to them. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. So I just say, okay, pray. By all means, please pray for me. As the church leaders, the other church leaders, on staff, the elders, those that will be elders, pray for us that we would live out in our lives personally what we're asking you to live out in your lives personally. Pray for me. Pray for me that I would go out into the harvest field and harvest the summer fruit. Pray for me that I could lead by example, not just tell you, but show you. That's what I want. Pray. Pray for your other brothers and sisters in the church. Like, pray for everyone. Pray that everyone just gets so burdened that we would be like Paul. So burdened that we would be like Jesus, willing to die for our friends. Willing to die for our friends. Like, you know, I'm willing to die for you between, you know, 4:30 and 5 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, but that's the only time you get of me. No. If I got to stop everything, if I've got to stop everything, wouldn't I do it? Wouldn't I do it to show someone God's love? And the truth is, I don't. I don't stop everything. I worry about my time. I worry about my schedule. I worry about my safety. Oh, my safety, my safety. Oh, if they kill me, I'll be resurrected. Imperishable. Who doesn't want... They write stories about that. I mean, like, That's the reality. Wouldn't you love to stand before the Lord having died, doing what He asked you to do? I mean, that's got to be something awesome. Well, Tony, what are you doing here? Well, you know, I was witnessing to a buddy and he killed me. It's awesome. That happened to me. Jesus, that happened to me. Pray for your brothers and sisters in church. Just pray that we would all do that. Don't you want, as a pastor, look, I want your lives to go great. I don't want you to die of cancer. We're all going to die some, right? Well, as your pastor, I want your families to be strong and secure, but we argue with our family. But I don't want you having to fight and argue. I want you to do well in business and work and whatever it is God's called you to. I want you to do that. But the one thing, when I pray, and the one thing that God just, it's like, leave your people to lead people to me. Pastor them to lead people to me. Show them how to lead people to me. That we all become shepherds of someone. That we're all showing someone the way to Jesus. The trail, the path that leads there, the narrow path of life surrender and loving one another. Something that's so foreign to this world. What it would be. That's what we should measure in our church. How many Christ followers have discipled someone to Jesus? And then we'll start measuring how many Christ followers have taught their disciples to disciple someone to Jesus. That's the true measurement. That's what God's asking us to do. So pray. Pray for your brothers and sisters. And then pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. And this is going to hit home a little bit. But this is kind of where we're going to land the plane. In James chapter 5, 16, James, the half-brother of Jesus, says this. He says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We understand that. If you have an accountability partner with somebody, you should be real with them. You pray about it. You confess it. God says He'll heal you. He's going to hear that prayer. He's going to heal you. And then He says this, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Like if I want God to use me to lead others to Jesus, then I got to really be able to show them what Jesus looks like. I got to show them His love and show them His grace. But my life can't be just full of filth. My heart can't be full of filth and hatred and rebellion and jealousy and rage and anger and lust and greed and all of those things. My heart needs to be filled with Jesus. And maybe that's one of the reasons why our laborers are not going out into the harvest field, is because we've become like everyone else in the world. We're not laboring for the Lord's harvest. We're laboring for the world's harvest. I want to labor for the Lord's harvest. And so He says, hey, get your life right with Christ. Confess your sins. Confess your sins. Be forgiven and walk in His grace. And He will hear your prayer. Your prayer to what? Lord, send me. Lord, send me. That's the prayer. He says it. Jesus said it. James says it. So how's your life? How's my life? Maybe this is why Jesus said, pray for laborers. Pray for the workers. Because God's done His part. He's done His part. Jesus has done, He said, it is finished. And then He hands you the good news of the kingdom. He says, now you go be His people. You be His kingdom people and invite people into it. You bring people in. You show them what forgiveness, love, and grace looks like. You. The Father wants people saved. Wednesday night, this past Wednesday, I'm going to skip some things, man. This past Wednesday night, Billy Choir shared with me, He's like, boy, I'm sore. I'm like, why are you sore? And he said, because I spent 6 hours picking green beans. Well, listen, that chills down me because when I was little, we had a big garden and we spent all summer long picking green beans. And then stringing them and then breaking them. I don't know if he strung them. Probably non-string ones. But 6 hours bent over picking green beans. Because I'm sore. I said, I bet, man. I spend 30 minutes squatted down trying to weed the flower bed and I can't move the next day. And he says, yeah. He said, I prayed this. And this is what he said. He said, I prayed, Lord, help me get these beans picked because I'll not be able to move tomorrow. Isn't that great? Lord, isn't that what you said? That's what you said. He said his prayer. He said, Lord, help me get these beans picked today because I'm not going to be able to move tomorrow. I think a couple things are applicable there to us. Number one, Lord, help us reach the harvest today because tomorrow I might not be able to. Right? Right? Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Start today. Find your one today. God's calling you to somebody. That's His whole program. Like if you think, no, it's not for me. Yes, it is. That is His whole program. It's the only reason you're on this planet. It's like that's why you're here. That's the program. Regardless of anything else you ever do. If you never hold down a job, if you never wear a piece of clothing, your job is to show others God's love. That's why He made you in His image. That's His program. So the number one is, let us pray that, Lord, help me reach the harvest today because tomorrow I might not be able to. The second thing was this. He worked so hard today, He knew He would be spent tomorrow. He knew that tomorrow He wouldn't be able to move. He knew that tomorrow His time had come. You think about Jesus praying in the garden. Lord, I don't want to do this. My time has come, but I'm going to do it. He's going to spend Himself today so much so that tomorrow He's going to lay on the battlefield, exhausted, knowing He's done everything He could. Man, it's just moving. It makes me want to eat green beans for lunch, man. We eat green beans every day. It's the only vegetable my wife really likes other than corn. But I still want green beans, so thank you for that. I have my one to you. That's the question today. I'm asking you, ask God to move in your heart. Ask God to burden you. Talk to other people about it. Get it out. Whatever's going on, get it out so that we can truly have compassion, so that we can truly make a difference for Christ in our community where we live, work, learn, and play, and worship. Just do that. Maybe you already know the name. Take that card. Fill it out. Go to the website today. I'm asking you, commit to this. Commit to this and let's see what God will do when we are obedient to what He's taught us to. Let's see that, okay? So I don't know what your prayers are today. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I want that love. I want to surrender my life to Christ. I'll help you with that. Bronson, we'll just come down. We'll take care of that right now. You want to live for Him? Maybe you don't come and pray for your one. Please do. Show God that you're serious about it. Show others. But take time. Go to the devotions. Go to the website. Sign up for that. It starts tomorrow. Do that today while you got time so you're not rushed. And let's just let God have His way with us, okay? All right? This is yes. Yes. This is no. Have I extended my allotted time? Yeah. Jesus died for him. We can be a few minutes late to lunch for him. Okay? Let's do it. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much for Your love for us. Oh, Lord, help me to get a glimpse of what that truly means, Your love for us. And Lord, the cost of that love. And Lord, You didn't call me to religion. You didn't call me to religious activities. You call me to that love. I want it. I want us all to want it. And Lord, I want to give it. I pray for Mark. I pray for everyone's Mark, whatever their name is. Lord, I pray right now You just start work. Give us a passion. Give us a burden that we can't let go of. For your glory. In Christ's name. Amen. Let's